You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
With Earth no longer habitable, the only place left to go was up.
Welcome to the orbit.
Space debris, 1.7 tons.
저건 400 나온다. 밟아.
너 맨날 나만 일하는 것 같은 기분 들지?
슬슬 마무리하자.
정말 그 열심히 다 산다 진짜.
안 들어줬으면
환장하겠네.
오늘도 한번 벌어볼까.
아, 피곤해 피곤해.
뭐야 너?
그 차 안에 있었다고?
그 난리통에 어떻게 살아남았는지 몰라.
The robot is extremely dangerous. It is nearly indistinguishable from a real human child, but is actually a dangerous weapon that could cause mass destruction.
어서요!
안녕하세요!
What?
감사합니다!
안녕하세요!
What?
Yep, congratulations. That is all of the Korean that I could look up in the 2 seconds that I...
Excellent. And the one Korean word that I know.
good.
Yiddishimasu?
No.
That's the wrong one. That was just a test.
Yobosyo? I think it's.
Stop murdering it.
Yeah, no. Okay. Look, I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, never try.
Yes. Why try to embrace a diversity when we could just whitewash the whole thing and do it all in English? Is that what you're trying to say, Dion?
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is...
That's what Dion did when he watched this movie.
Is you should probably just start... You should start the introduction, Quinny.
I did start the introduction. It just happened to be in Korean. Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. I am Quinny. I don't know how to say I am Quinny in Korean.
Just
who
me, Quinny.
You up there? Who's that?
I'm Jill. Hey.
Yay. And you up there?
Je suis Dion. Bonjour. Excusez-moi. Une guitare, s'il vous plaît.
You just said I am a Dion, not I am Dion.
Yeah.
I am
Je suis
croissant.
Je suis un noir gâteau.
You are the black forest cake?
No. Good. God. Oh, God. Why are we doing... Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why are we doing this? Because we are omelette du fromage.
The United Federation.
Why are we doing this? Because we are talking... of wherever. We are talking about the Korean Netflix sci-fi action blockbuster that is known as Space Sweepers. But the best thing about Space Sweepers is that there is no one language that can encompass this entire film.
Wait, this is a film we're doing, what now? What? I thought we were doing Ice Pirates. I have watched the wrong film.
Oh, right.
Oh.
I just forgot we talked about that last
time. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. Ice Pirates, right? Oh, no. Okay.
I'm so sorry, Outstanding Yak. We'll be coming back to Ice Pirates and the weird space.
Hey, good news is I made the promise that I would watch Ice Pirates if I didn't enjoy Space Sweepers, and I watched all of Space Sweepers.
Hey.
Oh,
there you go.
God. And Predakanga has been watching curling all week.
Yeah, I was also going to make that joke too. But
you got getting slightly confused between Space Sweepers and Ice Pirates. Yes. He's just called Ice Sweepers.
Ice Sweepers.
That's very good and very funny, and I like it. So, yes, we're talking about the 2021... I think it's this year's big Korean release, and one of the biggest Korean films that has been released in a very long time. The science fiction action blockbuster fucking crazy comedy weird thing that is, of course, here on Netflix because, you know, I don't know whether any cinemas open anywhere.
But if in Korean it's called Spaceship Victory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which... I don't know. I think Space Sweepers is a weirder title.
There wasn't a lot of space sweeping that happened in the movie.
No.
They did it for like an intro scene and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. And even then, would you have called it sweeping? It was more space harpooning.
Yeah, it's weird.
Space harpooning. Oh, this film is interesting and fun and weird and exactly everything I wanted from something that came out on Netflix in Korean / every other language that they could just cram in there because why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the thing that I did probably enjoy the most about it is that I originally started watching it in Korean with mm-hmm. English subtitles, and very quickly I was like, hang on, that doesn't sound like Korean, nor does that. What the fuck is going on here? And I realized that most of the characters who are the other space sweepers are speaking in their own language.
Ah, okay. You got
and like there's somebody who's speaking Russian, there's somebody speaking Chinese, there's a couple of people speaking Japanese, and everybody is just speaking to one another in their own language and everybody understands everybody.
Yeah, which there's is some very kind of cool. weird translator thing happening, which is, awesome.
Yeah, there's no universal translator.
I would like that in my ears the whole time.
There's
please.
No Babelfish. There's no what's the Farscape one where they inject you with nanobots so that you can understand each other?
Oh.
All that kind of shit. Where's that stuff?
Yeah.
You don't need it. You know what? When you grow up in futuristic outer space, everyone learns to understand the language.
2094.
Is that what it was? 2094.
2094, which is an interesting thing for timelining later, and I wish to come back to that, Jill.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
In regards to the main villain of the piece.
And Jill, can you tell us what Space Sweepers or Starship Victory is all about, please?
I can. After snatching a crashed space shuttle in the latest debris chase, Spaceship Victory's crew members find a 7-year-old girl inside. They realize that she's the human-like robot wanted by UTS space guards and decide to demand a ransom in exchange. And now that's not to be confused with the University of Technology Sydney.
Yeah.
UTS.
UTS.
I kept on getting that problem too. Of like, oh, UTS. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's people that work there.
It totally
and then
took
occasionally
me out of
I thought, is it UTI? Oh, did you?
It totally took me out of the thing.
UTS, not UTI.
Thinking that UTS was actually going to be running the world in the future is a terrifying right. I thought. Mm. It's like, wait.
I mean, the campuses are certainly big enough and shiny enough.
Yes, they do.
It's not the first choice in University of Sydney, though.
Bit of Sydney shade there. All right, fair enough.
Yeah. This is all getting very, very small. We're talking about universities in Sydney. So this is who was it? You who recommended it, Jill? Was this your choice?
Yeah,
wasn't it?
I mean, it kind of blew up last week on Facebook. I noticed some people talking about it and people saying, "Oh, it's got Guardians of the Galaxy vibes. Oh, it's like this cool kind of weird Valkyrie-esque space opera kind of thing." And I'm like, "Why the hell not? Let's give it a go."
Yeah.
And you know what? I agree with all of those, touchstones, if you will. Because, there's a distinct kind of Guardian. As I was watching it, I was kind of ticking off things as I was watching it, going, okay, a bit of Guardians of the Galaxy there. Got a little bit of, Moby Dick in space. A little bit of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Bit of The Matrix. There are a few bits that reminded me an awful lot of the second and third Matrix films. Not necessarily the good ones.
The opening reminded me of Blade Runner.
Yes,
and like all of that kind of stuff is very
Cowboy Bebop. There was a lot of Cowboy Bebop in this.
Yeah, except with a distinct lack of fun music. That was the only thing I was watching.
There was kind of an overture towards the end that sounded like a Marvel ripoff, but let's not go get into it.
Oh, my God, Actually, the closing credits.
Oh,
No spoilers or anything, but the closing credits are just purely, we just did a Marvel thing.
Remember the Iron Man credits? Same.
Yeah, do that.
Copy paste.
With the same music, but make it just slightly more Korean. Cool, thanks.
Yeah, less much. Like, we don't have the budget, so just do it. Ish.
Yeah. Make it sound exactly like this.
Do you still have all the wireframes from the animation? Excellent.
Yeah, we're just going to take that.
It's called recycling.
Hey. It's called postmodernism.
Disney's been doing it for years, so you're just doing the best.
If it was
by 5%, you can't get sued.
Yeah. Fluorescent line work is actually a style, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It feels like
Rob's like expecting the TARDIS to pop in, and you know what? I can imagine that.
It feels like it sounds to me like we're all kind of bagging on it, but it's actually kind of fun in the way that this was a film that I didn't. Like immediately, I saw it come up, and it's like space sweepers and blah blah blah. Mm. I was like, maybe. But you know what it feels like? It reminds me of one of those ones that you would go into a VHS store.
And you're aging yourself.
Yes, but when you're always presented with the fact that you could get three weeklies for a special, and this feels like either the second or third choice. Of the weekly, like you got the one that you wanted.
You've
to get.
Watched everything else that's there,
and you found this one, and you're like, "Yeah, sure, like you know, I could get this one."
Back in the day, it would have been like this, Robot Jocks, and maybe Lady Hawk again because it's a good
sure, or Ice Pirates. I mean, obviously, you went in there, you went in for Ice Pirates, and you got it, but then you're like, Space Sweepers will do. Like, you know, I'm already.
But, and that's exactly how I sort of think of this is that it is that kind of thing where you'd find it on a video store shelf and you'd kind of look at the cover and go, And then you'd watch it and you'd start telling your friends, going, actually, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But definitely has that early 90s vibe to it. Like, it's on a budget, but it's still, I don't know, kind of good.
And also, this is kind of one of those low, like, sort of subtle ones that slides in there. It is a little bit more transgressive than you expect. And I thought that immediately with the swearing that was in it. And I was like, I'm sorry, is this a kid's film? I'm not sure where we are right now. No one has died in a bloody mess, but someone just said fuck.
Yeah. So, which is interesting because did you listen to the dub version, didn't you?
No. I said I lied and said, I've run out of time. I'll watch it on 1.5 speed and listen to the dub, not sub. And in the end...
This is how much he cares about his reviewing.
I ran out of time. Anyway, but in the end, I ended up doing it in a pure way by watching it subs, not dubs, and regular speed. I carved out the time and I managed to have quite an enjoyable time, even though I'm still fucking confused as to what genre the film is.
Yep.
I don't think the film knows.
Because there's a lot of different things that happen, and occasionally I was like, what fucking film am I watching? Like, is this
whatever
an action?
Whatever the fuck it wants to be, yeah. Basically.
Is this an action film?
Yeah.
Is this a conspiracy?
Yes.
Is this a noirish? Is this a flashback one? Is this is everyone a hero? Is everyone a villain? I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Is it a comedy? Yeah, probably. You know what it reminded me of the most? In terms of complete fucking uncertainty of tone, but a kind of confidence in going, I'm a whatever the fuck I want to be. Mm. It reminded me of The Fifth Element.
Yeah, in that sort of tonal.
Yeah. Like, you know, The Fifth Element is an action film. It's a comedy. It's a weird sci-fi romp. It's kind of a love story.
It's wild and all over the place.
It's fucking bright and colourful and all over the shop. And it probably shouldn't work. But you kind of can't help but, and I know some people really hate The Fifth Element, but I'm one of the ones who really loves it.
Yeah,
and I think this one has that same thing of going, I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want. I'm going to have fun. Yeah. You know what? There's a little kid and the kid farts and it's very funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a robot and the robot maybe wants to be a lady, or maybe the robot is a lady. Who cares? But the robot's a badass and can do cool things.
Yeah. Loves money.
Loves money and has a harpoon. Why not? Because you can do that because this is space and it's the future and they're doing whatever the hell that they want. And
there's a super tattooed guy who's also kind of sweet and charming and
and vulnerable.
Looks like
and meek.
Korean Yakuza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's got elements. It's
badass,
got elements.
Cool pirate lady captain.
Yes.
Is she,
with
though?
A big fuck off gun.
Mm. Is she, though?
She's got a heart of gold.
Yeah.
But she'll rip your bloody throat out with her teeth.
Yes.
But will she, though?
Yes. She's badass and cool.
Dion thinks she's all bluff.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I had a slight kind of. not understanding, like, I don't know what sort of film this was because I didn't know who was the lead character. I didn't know who we were supposed to be going for. They kind of did an interchangeable thing between the crew of the spaceship Victory. And for the first sort of time when it first got introduced in the film, I was like, this thing looks like a piece of shit and it's not really cool and it's a bit trash. And then I realized, no, I'm being weird about films because if America can have American exceptionalism and be super weird for decades, Korea gets to do it too.
They can do whatever the fuck they want.
They can do whatever. Like, I mean, I wasn't comfortable with socks and toes poking out of socks and all the sort of weird ways that they introduce people. I was just like, this is weird. And then by the end of it, I'm like, absolutely not. No, they can be a fiercely proud, flag-waving Korean spaceship full of their own style all they want. Because everyone else in space apparently has all their own unique style and sensibilities.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think whoever is making a movie sort of has a scope of vanity when they make that film and like to focus on, you know, their own heritage. So, you know, you got to expect that coming from a Korean film that they're going to focus on Koreans.
Yeah. And I think they do a pretty good job of actually going, yes, this is a Korean ship that you're following, but there's also, you know, 60, 70, 80 other ships that you see and they've all got their own shit going on. And there are some people in there that you're like, I have no fucking clue where your accent is from. There's one guy who speaks and it's interesting because there's some people who speak in, I'm not sure whether it's broken English or it's I don't know what the language is that drops in and out of English quite regularly.
Oh, I think that's like a really colloquial type of like Jamaican English.
Right.
Something like that. Some sort of African kind dialect.
It sounded similar to the character from Luke Cage season 2.
Where it's
weird mixture of like native whatever language it is mixed with English, like a Creole kind of style language.
It's got a few like the nods, and I'd say the easiest thing for me to reference is Firefly, or you know, Serenity, Firefly, but Firefly in the sense that they've delineated the idea of people, like humanity, in the future, and only 2090, like in 70 years, we'll be colonizing space. But you're either a citizen or not or a non-citizen, and you have very clear rules about what you are. And everyone who is a citizen just seems to speak English and is, you know, living a nice life.
White.
And kind of, white, living a nice life. And everyone else who is a non-citizen is just doing whatever the fuck they can. And that is where all the interesting shit happens.
And funnily enough, I mean, that reminds me once again of another touchstone of Alita, Battle Angel Alita.
Yeah,
you know, you've got the people living in the shithole on the ground, all desperate to try and get up to.
That's Earth, Quinny.
Yes. Oh, yes. Earth is, in this case, the shithole again.
I love that. I love it in the future. Like, I mean, all the way back to, what was it, Alien Resurrection? Where it's like, Earth, what a shithole. Like, no one wants to go to it. In the future, everyone wants to get off Earth and leave. It's like, oh, it's a shithole now. It's like, oh, come on, guys. It's still all right. I like it. Gives me oxygen.
Well, if we don't do anything about climate change,
it'll just go away.
It's going to be a shithole.
Yeah.
It'll just go away. Yeah, no. But, yeah, that was the thing that I really liked about it, especially the introductory stage. While it starts it starts with an English voiceover and narration, and then it goes into a crew that's speaking Korean. Fair enough. And then it has all these other crews that are speaking other individual languages, but explaining it. And it just doesn't stop sort of doing that. And you just have to catch up. Like, you know, if you don't understand it, that's kind of your fault, but we've subtitled everything for you, so you're just going to keep going. Doesn't matter what language you're speaking, they're still subtitling it, which is great.
And even in the dubbed version, which I've got to say is actually quite acceptable. Like, I watched most of it, or over half of it, in the sub, and then when I found out there was a dub, I was like, oh, okay, well, let's see what the rest of it is like. And it actually maintains that of being a fairly acceptable dub, but also keeping a lot of the other characters speaking their own language with subtitles anyway.
I think Netflix defaulted for me to the dub, so it started out like that, and then I was like, man, all these effort sounds are not really matching with what's happening right now. And it was kind of throwing me off here.
Oh, no, they've mismatched the mouth flaps.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm just going to watch the subs.
When you do watch the subs, you do still go, oh, okay, that's better. The voices match the personalities better.
The interesting
and
thing...
And the effort sounds are natural.
I thought about the dub was the dub did some interesting interpretations from the sub. So I would say even if you're interested about how the English language translation is going according that, because there are times when the translation will say something specific and in the end it's like the character's like, oh no, they're fucking idiots. And it's like, they're not quite right in the end of the head. It's like, oh, okay. Like, fair enough. That was your decision to match that.
Yeah, sometimes things get a bit simplified and yeah.
And no, actually, there's no option for DOMs. Not yet. Anyway,
all get that all the time after we've been to the gym. You know, a bit of DOMs. Oh, you know, not that kind of DOMs.
No,
I think delayed onset muscle soreness.
Okay. I hope you came up with that one right there. Did you?
No.
Oh god,
it's an actual thing.
Oh,
no.
Oh, my God.
We're down the gym, but my DOMs are giving me hell.
Yeah. Oh, shit, bro. I went lifting on Tuesday. I got the DOMs bad.
Oh, I never want to go to your gym anyway.
No, I don't have a gym at the moment. I think it's fun because it does go so crazily into whatever language you're in. And whether you like your subs or your dubs or your dubs or whatever, I think there's a lot to find in there. If you, as Missy brought up Parasite, talking about director Bong's great film there, you know, if you can get over that 3-inch barrier of subtitles, which realistically, I mean, fuck it, everyone here is probably going to be the kind of people who are fairly comfortable with subtitles. But yeah, if you can get over that 3-inch barrier, there's a fucking crazy ass film there for you.
That's just good advice for life.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, get over that 3-inch barrier.
It's all smooth sailing from there.
Yeah. I'm also going to stop doing this every time. It's making me uncomfortable. It's making everybody uncomfortable. Actually, that goodness. I think that is the 3-inch barrier. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Yeah, it's like 3 inches.
That's a little bit. That's
okay,
a
dude.
3 inches.
Okay. That's what I tell everybody.
Fuck.
Right. have we derailed
what,
yet? Probably.
What did you think about the
characters? No?
Sure, they're characters. Which character was your favorite?
Oh, I like Tiger. Tiger Park.
Yeah, I kind of like Bubs. The robot.
Bubs the robot is cool.
Yes. Well, so to go through the characters, yeah, Tae-ho is our lead character who is kind of, you know, sort of your generic lead guy.
I like the description here is former commander of the Space Guards and the first ever UTS genius. And I'm like, considering the company UTS was founded by a genius... That's me.
I do love that UTS is so clearly just future Apple.
Is it?
You know, it's like, what if Apple also got into world domination and, you know, instead of the geniuses at the genius bar being people who help with your iPad, they're also the people who do invasions of your planet.
A bit concerned there. It's like, what do you mean, what if? Like,
good point. Well made. Captain Jang is, how would you describe her?
Former Special Forces Squad officer who later deserted her post to create her own pirate organization. She attempted to assassinate CEO James Sullivan, in which her entire pirate crew were killed.
And how are we pronouncing him today?
Oh, yeah. There's a few different pronunciations.
I pronounce him as, oh, shit, that's Richard Armitage.
Which I didn't pick up until like halfway through the film.
Yeah.
Blonde hair and that fake beard really threw me off.
Yeah.
Apologies to Richard if it wasn't a fake beard, but it was very sparse and very quick.
I was watching there going, oh shit, it's Thorin Oakenshield.
You know the worst part? I didn't actually realize throughout the entire film until the end credits. And I was getting ready to cast some pretty serious shade on that actor in this podcast because I was going to say, oh, you know how it is when you've got a film made in another language and usually they just hire whatever, you know, English-speaking actor they can find and they're not usually very good. Well, I think they kind of did that here. And then I went, oh, fuck me, it's Richard Armitage.
in this case, I think they just found everyone who wasn't Korean and just happened to be in Korea at this time. It's like, do you speak a language other than English? Yes, you're in.
Though, I mean, if you...
excuse?
the Hobbit films.
Yeah, it's like, I was in The Hobbit. Jesus.
Okay, I guess we'll take you. We're not happy.
We've also got Yoo Hae-jin as Robot Bubs, the former military robot who trying to save up for her gender confirmation services. So that's nice. Who is actually very funny. Nice. I like Bubs. Bubs is great.
Yeah.
Bubs is also totally fucking badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a collection of non-Korean actors who nobody knows and aren't even listed on this particular thing here. Oh. But it's fine because they were there and they all had different languages, so they could do language,
including Pierre.
Oh, Pierre.
oui. Oh, bless Pierre. A Pepe Le Pew if ever I have seen one.
Yeah. I just loved how completely fucking cheesy and cliched he is.
But I also love that it looks like they found him as like a backpacker off the street who could speak French. Mm-hmm. And do you have a guitar? Great. You're in.
Cool. Kevin Dockery, whoever you are, we salute you.
We salute
you. We also haven't mentioned Ri-Yin Park, who plays Dorothy.
Yeah, a.k.a. Cotnim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's great. Now, cute as a button. Employed to absolutely be adorable.
Yeah.
Yes. Also good at farting.
And sneezing.
Yes.
Oh, and sneezing, yes.
That was actually the cutest thing, which was in the trailer that we just saw, is at some point they see a news report saying that she is a bomb who was designed to go off, and they see her like eyes rolling back and she's like looks like she's activating and the entire crew panics and jumps down and then she sneezes. But I love that everyone's just waiting, and so she looks around and she's like, oh, everyone's down on the floor. I'll just get down on the floor too.
Yeah, that was really cute.
Immediately adorable.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is a lot in common with Firefly, as you said, Dion. Like, you look at the kind of character archetypes and we're right in the middle of Firefly, except, you know, our swaggery, smart-ass captain has now been sort of switched over with badass space warrior vixen captain.
I think she's not really a vixen. There's no point in this do I ever look at the captain and I'm like, she's hot. I just look more like,
really?
Damn, she just pulled out a whole bunch of aviators and a jacket and wants to punch people.
Okay. I must admit, I looked at her and thought, hot damn, she's an extraordinarily attractive young lady. So, you know, different taste, I guess.
She's a powerful woman and maybe Dion's just threatened by that.
Maybe he is.
I think it had more to do with her taser. Thank you very much.
yes, fair. Good point. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that interplay. Tiger Park is the I don't know, he's the what's the name? Kaylee of Firefly. Engineer.
We're just
engineer who gets look. If you're gonna, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna compare them directly.
You're just doing comparisons, and they're completely different people. But yeah, I mean, kind of a cross between Kaylee and Jane. The sweetness of Kaylee and the ferocity and machismo of Jane, without the added bullshit.
Without the docking.
Doxing.
Doxing.
slightly different.
Sorry, docking's another thing.
Yeah, very much.
There's
sorry.
A 3-inch barrier that you have to get over.
But there is a lot of space docking in this film.
There is.
They dock the fuck out of each other. Everywhere. Every now and again, there's just ships docking each other. In fact, at some points, two arms come out the side and then one tries to rip the dock off the other one.
And I'll rip your fucking dock off. There are torpedoes going everywhere. Yeah. This is just a movie full of phallic symbolism. Apart from the weird giant ball.
Yes, or the orb. This is a kid's film, by the way.
Is it though?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. Is it a kid's film? I'm not fucking, you know. It's quite, yeah, this film full of doms and docking and people saying fuck and people just all out for money and a heroin drug kingpin who's actually a nice person and an adorable girl. Redemption, yes. By the fact that you can feel protective of a small child. Is that what that is? That what it is?
No, I guess that's sort of our heart story, isn't it? You know, that in the end it all comes down to the love of a man for the child that he cares. Now, I was going to be careful.
All right. Okay. How do I
God
just...
damn it.
Wait a second. I'm just going to make sure that... okay. So, Jill.
Damn it.
Anyway, Jill. we could get rid of just the Quiddy there for the time being. We don't need him anymore. He's gone now.
Oh,
I'm still here. I'm still here. I don't know. Do I just start putting my hands up into your shot? I don't know.
Have you had a good think about where you went wrong there? You can come back to the podcast anytime. But
yes.
How about we talk about our likes and dislikes and then do a rating? And then we can talk about spoilers.
I think that's a great idea.
Oh, fuck. I'm exhausted.
Dion, start us off.
Great.
Yeah, tell us something you liked.
I really loved that this just made me feel like I was watching a cheap weekly science fiction fun film that had, like, you know, it had characters that I kind of went, I get that they're all very, like, superficial, but it's okay. And then, you know, all these characters are superficial, but then they do weird shit. Like, we'll go to the clip with, I'll talk about the weird shit that goes in there. And that it was fun and ridiculous, and you went in with it and it just didn't stop, so it was good. It didn't stop too long, so no one got to think about what the fuck was actually going on, because it keeps dropping. And my complaint of it is it drops a shitload of plot and has absolutely no idea or even reason or want to explain why that happens. Like, all of the stuff just goes, this happened, and you're like, really? Oh wow, that sounds okay, now you've moved on. All right. Nick, adorable puppy, like, kind of thing, you know, that it does.
And hyper violence and people getting shot in the face. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, sure.
There's no blood.
Like, yeah, well, as I said, it's weird, but I'm not sure where I could go. And apart from a few of the wibbly wobbly timey wimey understandings of it, which I'll get to in the spoilers, I had some of those issues. So I want to. It's that weird thing, because I wanted to give it like an 80, 85, but it was just kind of issues with it. So it drops it down to like a 70, like 70-ish. I don't think I could go as high as 75 because I was problemed with it, but it was fun. Like, I liked it, but it just had things that irritated. Fuck it, 75. There we go. I'm done.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed it enough. I thought all the characters had like a fantastic anime stereotype-esque personality, which was easy to get on board with, but it just went a little too long and lost a lot of plot threads, and maybe could have all of the leads that they buried so deep into this movie could have been brought to the forefront a bit sooner, so we could get on board with these characters a bit quicker and a bit sooner, just so we could, you know, kind of warm up to them and I guess follow their story right through to the end and maybe enjoy them more. I just don't feel like I connected with them by the end of the movie, except for Teiho, just because they delved into his backstory a lot more, but they spent way too much of the film doing it. So for me, I think I'm going to give it a 60.
Okay, 60. All right.
Yeah. I mean, visually it was fun and I liked all of that kind of stuff. Like, it was low budget, but it didn't look cheap.
I mean, we're saying low budget, but I think this is actually one of the more expensive films to come out of Korea in a long time. It was. This is a big budget Korean blockbuster film.
It cost $24 billion. Korean currency, whatever that is.
dong.
It was $21.2 million.
Yes,
$20 million. That's a pretty average movie.
Yeah, it's not a blockbuster budget.
But in America.
Yeah,
but in America. I mean, I don't know.
They got a lot out of it.
Sorry?
They got a lot out of it. Sorry to interrupt.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like every cent of that's on the fucking the screen.
Mm. Oh, and the sets like were good.
I mean, unless, I don't know how much they paid for Richard Armitage. Probably.
The Arkenstone was the cost of
your soul. It's 136 minutes, so 2 hours and 15 or thereabouts. Missy, who asked in the chat. I actually think I perhaps enjoyed it more than both of you.
Oh.
I found myself having a really good rollicking time with it.
I
kept on looking at it and going, okay, there's a bit of something that I like. There's something else I like. There's something else that I like. You know, there's a sequence where there, you know, there's a whole bunch of cool killer robot things. And I'm like, there's a bit of Star Wars. There's some stormtroopers. And then there's a bit of Battlestar Galactica and stuff. There's
a bit of Star Wars.
Sorry?
A bit of Star Wars.
Okay.
Like the entire third act.
Okay, yes. Okay, fine.
Sorry, just...
But I thought it did it in a way that was loving and creative, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty, you know... If you're going to nod at something, nod at it in a way that makes you go, oh, yeah, that's cool. Like, there's stuff towards the end where Richard Armitage is doing stuff, and I was like, wow, that is almost straight out of The Matrix. And I was like, okay, that kind of works. I had a good time. I loved Bubs. I think that is a character that I wanted to perhaps... Yeah, I think you're right, Jill. That whole thing of burying the lead so far into the film means that you don't necessarily get to enjoy those characters. Yes, 3 inches. until it's almost too late.
Yeah.
And when you're given the backstory to what these people did and what their history was, you're like, oh shit, they're actually massive badasses. Mm-hmm. And they probably should all be really, like, you know, superhero level cool.
What?
But up until that point, they're kind of like, oh, okay.
They're all what?
Well, you know, superhero cool. They're like, you know, they're like...
So it's like, oh, they're all cool. They're superhero badasses. One of them is literally a heroin kingpin.
Yeah, but look at him. He's got an axe and he's cool. He's got tattoos and he's badass. Yeah.
That's the power of love. It makes up for all the death.
So yeah, I'm gonna give it 80. I really had a good time with it. Okay. And I would Quinny, I don't know whether I'd happily watch a sequel. That's for sure.
Quinny coming down on the side of the drug dealers.
Well, you know, I'm all about, you know, being cancelled at least twice in my one podcast.
Yeah, cancelled in twice in one podcast. Fuck it, that's great. Excellent. Yeah, it's fun.
And as YRD9000 says, he's got a bit of the Shaolin and soccer vibe going on. Yeah. Like, you know, I guess maybe I just had a really good time with this because I was reminded of those times in the past where we would watch a Korean film or a film from, you know, Russia or somewhere really weird, you know, Night Watch or something like that, and go, fuck, this is like, I love watching cinema that isn't necessarily American-centric and yet still feeling like, hey, this is cool and exciting and badass, and look at all of these other references and influences that they are happy to also, you know, include.
It's always fun watching people referencing filmmakers who were referencing other films like foreign films were referenced and adapted and made into American films, which are now being made and adapted back into foreign films. And I love that because it's funny and it's exciting. But
and it is always weird when you watch something that you're like, oh, wow. You missed the original concept entirely, but you've got some nice American actors doing it, so good on you.
Good on you. All right. Well, speaking of weird, and if anyone else has a rating in the chat, let us know. We'll do this. But I'm just going to go to a clip because I don't know if I was watching a science fiction action film or an ad for Robitussin. So we're just going to have a look at a clip. And this thing, after what we talked about, we're gonna look at what's his name? Sorry, the guy Song Joon-ki, who apparently got himself a start on the variety show Running Man, which may or may not include Arnold Schwarzenegger and
Running Man.
Sorry, I was like, huh, interesting what they're doing in Korea now. But where he's gonna sing to his weirdly adopted daughter, which isn't the girl that we're talking about that was in the. No. Film. Anyway, watch it. It's kind of weird. It feels like it's an ad for adult diapers or something.
그 뒤로 김태원은 사람들을 해칠 수가 없었어.
순이야, 이거 아빠가 가사 쓴 건데 아빠 노래 한번 들어볼래? 아빠 해도 돼? 알았어. 순이야. 아빠는 순이가 제일 좋아 밥 먹을 때 신발 신을 때 빨래 할 때도 생각나
isn't that adorable? But also right there at the start you get to see that once he was basically a stormtrooper who shot civilians.
Yeah.
You can
know there are a bunch of stormtroopers shooting people throughout this and you're like, that's the level of violence that they do seems completely incongruous to the rest of the whole fucking film.
Yeah, as long
but
as
he
you
had
feel
a face turn and became a good guy.
Yeah, as long as you feel guilt for hate crimes, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, as long as it's corporate sanctioned hate crimes or, you know, genocide or whatever you want. They were stealing stuff like air. By breathing, because they were poor.
Fucking people living, and this is costing money.
This is the sort of thing that is like, they had a lot of interesting ideas that we talked about. And oh shit, better turn on the spoiler bit. Hang on.
Yeah, I was going to say, we probably need to have some spoiler business here going on.
Spoilery bullshit now. it was interesting to have a lot of broad ideas in this, especially about wealth inequality and what does the future hold and, you know, whether or not you're trying to save Earth by attempting to use all of that massive technological and interesting stuff for good and can people be redeemed and what does it look like and how does that happen, et cetera, et cetera. But then just to gloss over everything really super fast. And I want to talk about Richard Armitage's character. What's his name?
Sorobom.
Soroban.
Sudafed.
Sudafed. James Sullivan, the CEO of UTS. Now.
Sorobom. And by the end of it, he is kind of heading that way.
He does. It's like a weird Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing. But, you know, he's the first person to be 150 years old. Right, something that is espoused at the start. Remember, he's over 150.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Actually,
yeah. So, do you know if we're doing this timeline correctly, that means he was born around World War II. Yeah, and so which industrialist now born around World War II would be still old enough to make it to another 50 years, kind of thing. Mm. And it's just kind of this weird thing where they literally set it up like. Oh, he's like, you know, the world's first smart proto-human great person, intellect genius, going to take us all to the future. But they literally made him be born around World War II. And I'm like...
But also he still looks like he's in his late 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's just a steady
course.
So
when did he start experimenting with
stem
cells?
That's just a steady course of platelets and the blood of children, Jill. We all know that. I've been getting mine for years. I'm 374.
And the grey's only just coming in.
Wait, do I have to cancel myself now? but like this was the sort of stuff. It sets up all of these interesting ideas and then just seems to pull back slowly to like, hey, these space bums who collect garbage just want cash because then they can fuck off and do whatever they want. I don't know, buy shoes. And it just gets really weird.
No, it's like he can look for his daughter that's dead and lost in space.
He's looking for her body.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
Yeah.
That's why he wants money.
He's literally a garbage collector and he needs help looking for her body.
Yeah.
I mean, I found that to be an interesting plot point because I was like, that's bleak and weird. Mm. Not terrible at all, but also kind of like, oh, wow. Okay.
But also like the level of corporate greed that in 2092 where, you know, you can't do anything unless you pay somebody to go and like dredge space for you.
Mm.
Yeah, well,
especially
I mean,
when like it was an accident that, you know, they should have been liable for in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, technically speaking, he ruined his own life because he wasn't space sweeping hard enough. Because it was hit by space debris.
Was he a space sweeper at that point?
No, he was a bum.
No.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say he was just, yeah.
He was a gambling bum
because he
lost his
girl. He was trying to raise this girl and then, he had no money.
Yeah.
For some reason that wasn't actually fully explained.
No, it was. He was still working for the army, but then when they found out what he did, they kicked him out. And then that's why he was living on the streets and trying to gamble for cash.
But
he still had to support the daughter.
He'd started to lose track of the whole kind of thing of why it's important to look after the daughter. I mean, he was looking after her, but you could start to see that he was starting to get into it just for the money, not for any other reason.
So the metaphor is you can only raise children if you're rich.
I really hope
not. Only rich people are qualified to raise children. This is obviously the takeaway.
Don't take your children for granted.
Yeah.
No, take them
for your loved ones in general.
Take them for at least $2 million because isn't that how much that we're going to sell that child for? Like four of them were like, okay, so let's split up. This child's worth like $2 million. Let's sell her and fuck off.
So
I'm getting all the wrong metaphors.
Yeah, you are taking many of the wrong takeaways.
Lessons here.
That's fine. Okay, I do want to talk a little bit about Richard Armitage and Sullivan. I'm just going to put it out there. He's a bit shit.
What, acting in this movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely. I think this is one of those ones where you're like, you really need a director on set who is going to whose English is their first language or whatever, and also somebody who can look at it and go, actually, Richard, I need you to be better.
You did see The
it's
Hobbit,
It's so
though, right?
weird that someone that has been acting for so long has no taste level of himself. You know, how do you not look at your performance and say, geez, that was a bit shit, I better do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless they had no money for another take.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they had Richard Armitage for precisely 1 week and... Yeah.
A week.
And got one take at it.
That's generous. He only was ever in like three scenes. Like he was either walking through the apple orchard or he was flying that spaceship or he was filled with only the rage of a middle-aged white man could be.
Yeah. I don't know.
His empire being threatened.
I think the really... unfortunate thing is that he's up against people who are acting in, you know, their native language.
First language, yeah.
And obviously with a director who's able to get performances out of them that they couldn't get out of him for whatever reason. And it feels like, unfortunately, it does feel like there's him and he's doing his thing. There's the main cast and they're doing their thing and their thing's real tight and real good and it's awesome. Mm. And then there's the rest of the space sweepers who are also kind of just doing their thing because they're all being directed in another language that they don't understand either. And it's a fucking mess of performances.
There is a disconnect between it, yeah.
which is a shame because I think the film's really fucking entertaining.
Did you like, okay, so as we kind of went on with the whole plot and narrative development, did we actually feel as though we connected with this disparate crew of money-hungry sons of bitches?
By the end of it.
Becoming the adoptive family.
2 hours and a quarter, like, yes.
Yeah.
Eventually you're like, well, yeah, she's pretty handy to keep around. Plus she can do things like, I don't know, grow trees.
Yeah.
Because she's some sort of weird
person that
cyber
rescues Earth.
Yeah, she's some sort of weird cyber connected.
They don't have to colonize Mars now, which is good.
No, I mean, you know, I like that by the end she's like, oh, I just go down and I grow some trees and then I come back with my family.
So
and it is kind of cute. But what happens when she grows up and she realizes that she's got to go through puberty as someone who can literally manipulate things through nanotechnology and is definitely going to fuck someone up? When everything gets a little bit hard, perhaps kill a few people. It's all fun and games when she's
that
cutesy.
Might be the sequel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Dorothy goes a little AWOL and does become the bomb that they have to kill.
Oh, damn.
Yo, oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Mm. Space Sweepers 2, we should have swept harder. Oh, damn. Although I was quite disappointed by the fact that they literally knocked off the end of Star Wars by having a Death Star blow up situation.
Yeah.
In fact, it was literally, you know, the sphere
It was a Death Star. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the old switcheroo, that was a bit different.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I kind of at the end there when it did do the old switcheroo at the end, I'm like, ah, you guys,
yeah. You got me,
you got me. You were real, I was down with what you were just putting out very simply and taking it for face value, and then when you pulled the switcheroo, it was like, ah, you rapscallions.
Yeah,
and I wanted that. I actually wanted them to all die, like at the end of Rogue One.
Yeah.
Spoilers for Rogue One.
We are in the spoiler section. It's
but
fine.
But then when they didn't do it, I was just kind of like, yeah, well, you've got to do that. So, anything? Well, yeah. Did you like? Is there anything that you did like or didn't like? Well, it was fun. They didn't. I love their sets.
I think I've talked about the stuff I don't like, which is Richard Armitage.
Did you guys like the sets? It reminded me so much of like Red Dwarf or like a slightly more colourful original Alien set. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was very like, it looked like someone did a couple of trips to reverse garbage and built the set.
Yeah,
actually, you know
which
what?
Which I dig because like that kind of... you know, like resourcefulness is what these people would be working with. They're all dirt poor. They've got no cash coming in. So, of course, like this ship is just going to be an amalgamation of scraps.
Yeah. What if you got a cosplayer to build a spaceship?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Just like stick things together and fucking hope and pray that it holds on.
But it works. And I love that everyone's Space Sweeper sort of ship is stuck together and it's kind of a bit shit.
Yeah.
That's why I like this. That gave the whole thing a certain sense of authenticity. With this
you
whole
really
sort of
it.
Stuff. Yeah, they're dirt poor, full of shit technology, and they're just, you know, hanging out in space because that's where they have to live now.
And it sort of has a bit of a punk kind of vibe too, like, you know, the costumes, the outfits, everybody's a bit kind of cool and a bit fashion-y, especially Bubs. And I love Bubba's design, you know, actually there was an interesting part in the subs there, which was the Bub subs.
Bub subs.
That in the subtitled version, Dorothy calls her sis. And it's a very subtle difference, but in the dub version, she calls her lady. And is a lot more obvious about it. And I have a feeling that that's more referring to a kind of not necessarily trans thing, but it's like you're not necessarily presenting as the gender that you are or whatever it is.
Okay.
I could be wrong in that. I don't know the cultural stuff around that in Korean, but I did notice that it was just a really unusual choice of words in the subtitles, that they used something totally differently in the dub. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, it could be a thing, like I know in a lot of Asian cultures, when you're speaking to someone older than you but not an elderly person, it'll be like auntie or uncle or something like that, or big sister, big brother.
Mm. And maybe that's the thing, because up until that point, Bubs is presented with a male voice and, you know, masculine frame, and then Dorothy is the first one to call him big sister,
right,
or call her big sister. Mm. And they're obviously quite surprised that they've picked up on that, which I liked. And I also liked the design of Bubs just because of the cool face that can show shit and go, yeah.
It's, yeah, I like how there was that kind of transparency in the like the head part, so it looked like there were teeth or smiling or whatever was happening.
Yeah,
just and the LED design screens. Reminded me a lot of K2SO from Rogue One as well.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I also like that when Dorothy calls them sis, like they're just little red lights go.
Oh yeah, the little rosy cheeks. That was cute.
Like, oh, you see me.
Oh, yeah.
And also, she's like a mad fashionista when she's got the human skin. That was really cool.
Also, a mad fashionista as a robot.
Yeah,
there's some cool designs. I like the Bubs t-shirts should actually be sale. There's actually some cool, fun, fashion-y bits in this, which is kind of cool. Like, you know, I wouldn't mind getting around in some of that. Yeah. Do you think it deserves a little bit more? Do you think it deserves a sequel?
I don't know if I'd be so quick to say I'd watch a second one. But then again, I was the only person here to give it a lower rating. So what do you guys feel like?
Wow, you're just going to sweep that one under the rug, are you there, Jill?
You were the one who recommended this.
You recommended this. You made this.
It was on a recommendation from other people.
I liked it. I would watch Space Sweepers too.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I mean, maybe not all at once, because it's very long. If they're doing another 136-minute film, I'd be like, okay, guys, could you just not break this up into a television series? That would be good.
Right.
And add more jokes. But yeah, look, Space Sweepers is an interesting concept. You know, everyone is trying to get off Earth, or kind of trying to get off Earth. There is the reason that there are space sweepers is because there's so much space junk, and it's all flying around at, you know, twice the speed of sound. So if you get hit by a little bit, you're gonna die. And I really like that bit towards the end where the captain was outside, and she is in the spacesuit where she's fucked up her arm, and she's got the spacesuit that has basically those little hook line carpoon things to keep her attached to the spaceship. And I
dug that.
That's cool. That's a fun design. Because, apparently in the future you need harpoons to catch shit, which just creates tiny microparticles as it smashes through things, and that's what they need to do.
Yeah. More space junk to be swept.
And it's only worth like $700. The economy is totally off the scale. It's like, oh, you've gotten 17 tons of space debris. That's $20.
Yeah.
What? Oh, yeah, you also
feel like, wow.
You owe us $7,000 for repairs and fuel.
Yeah. Yeah. The economy seemed kind of heavily weighted in favor of the not being space sweepers.
Well, Preda Kanga just put in the chat, fun fact, space archaeology is a real profession. Investigating and learning how to deal with all the junk is a thing.
Well, this is where the film originally came from. The concept for the film came from the director having a conversation with somebody and learning that there is so much fucking junk floating around up there that it presents a massive danger to anything that goes up into the orbit. Mm. That you could be taken out by a spare, just a flying fucking nut or bolt or whatever.
Or a fucking red Tesla that Elon Musk decided to chuck at Mars.
God damn it, Elon.
It's like,
well, there's still more space to sweep, it seems.
plenty more space to sweep. Yeah, well, look, I'd say go and watch Space Sweepers. It's there. Yeah. It's on Netflix. It's not bad. Yeah.
It's a bit of an all right.
Yeah. And then if you don't
you
like
do
it.
Do a lot worse.
Just watch Ice Pirates.
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of a lot worse.
Or ice sweepers, whatever that
ice sweepers.
Was.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gravy. Well, what are we doing? What are we doing?
That was exactly what I was going to ask you.
Ah, if I get in first, then I don't have to make the decisions. What are we going to watch next time? Or review next time?
Monster Hunter.
Monarch.
The computer game? Yeah. Excellent. I can download that and the 37 gig patches. Oh, no.
Yeah. I have seen so many different costumes made from Monster Hunter. Kamui Cosplay does, you know, all of these amazing costumes. And I always look at them. I'm like, they look incredible. I have never played the game.
Our Australian representatives won the World Cosplay Summit in Japan with Monster Hunter costumes. Like,
they
this
did.
Is how epic it is.
Yes, absolutely. Right. And big love to Kay and Will. Who absolutely fucking smashed it.
Yes, I see someone is there. It was an average movie. Guess what? We're going to find out.
Yeah.
And next week we can tell you just how average it is.
And I'm just excited because it's Paul Anderson. Yeah.
Yes.
A man who did an okay job on Mortal Kombat, fucked up Alien versus Predator, and then has continued to fuck up Resident Evil films ever since.
No.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Someone's
he's
got
the king
have
of the...
Mila Jovovich in it, so...
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
That
that's
explains why if he
why
just
she's
does
in
Resident Evil films. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that, he's
okay.
The one that gave her the gig.
Great.
And in fact, I think they got married after the first Resident Evil film.
And two okay, kids, apparently.
Yeah. So. After she finished her relationship with Luc Besson, thanks to The Fifth Element, then there was Paul Anderson. Go figure.
Sure.
Anyway.
Yeah.
She's
look,
got more than 3 inches.
I...
And on that note,
you are indeed the monster hunter.
Yes, I heard, yes. I order monster, oh, you shall hunt. Yeah. It's at least 3 inches.
I'm hunting for the monster.
Oh, look, I haven't watched it. I haven't watched a good dumb movie, and Godzilla versus Kong is still a while away. So,
yeah exactly.
Let's watch Monster Hunter.
It's going to be a good dumb movie.
And see how this is going to go.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it. Also, speaking of Paul Anderson, I got very excited for the Mortal Kombat trailer that came out this week. It
yes.
looks terrible
beauty.
And I'm fucking into it.
You fucking beauty.
You fucking beauty. Like everything up until that point, I was like, oh, yeah, whatever, cool. And then that line came in, I was like, I'm in.
Do you have to say, though, when Sub-Zero slashes that guy and then the blood spurt turns into the sword, I was just like, yeah, I'm fucking about this dumb shit movie.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Yeah.
And at least Raiden is an actor of Asian ethnicity this time.
You mean it's not fucking Christopher Lambert? No. I am not having a part of this.
Christoph Lambert. Oh, dear. That was, yes. I mean, I think we should seriously get to that petition to rename Kano, K-A-N-O, to K-A-Y-N-E-O.
Kano.
Fucking Kano. And if he doesn't walk
fucking
in.
Fucking Kano. No, Kano.
No, Kano.
If he doesn't walk in a room and go, I'm fucking Kano.
Yeah.
It's
right.
Like, what are you even doing?
I'm pretty sure I went to a high school with a guy called Kane. I hope he's called Kano now.
Oh, God. Yes. Oh, yeah. Don't forget. Also, why isn't Chun-Li in this movie?
Oh, Junkie. Yeah.
Jezebel, wow. Not Junkie, Jezebel.
I just love that, like, the answer to that question wasn't a Google search before they wrote a fucking article about it.
Or even, you know, a Google search by their editor before they published
like,
the article.
No, it's no sense that Chun-Li's not in this film. It's like, what is that?
The crazy thing is you think not that the sites like that have editors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. No, they don't.
Well done to them anyway.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Go on, search that stuff out. Hilarious. Yeah. Hilarious. Yes.
We rating
more
someone
fun things.
Now?
We are indeed. So thank you so much for joining us for the Periodic Table of Awesome. We will be back in your ear holes on the podcast and on the live stream next week. Thank you and good night.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.